Hallelujah. Good morning, Glory Peace Church. Welcome back. Welcome back. Good to have everyone here. Welcome to those who are new. Hallelujah. We have come to meet with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Our healer, our deliverer, our provider. Father God, we just thank you that you're in this place. Holy Spirit, we ask that you lead this entire service. Holy Spirit, we give it over to you. Have your way. We praise your name. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together and start praise and worship.
He won't withhold anything. All together we sing. Yes, Lord, I'm abundantly. I'm abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your
love. One more time we sing. I am abundantly.
I am abundantly satisfied.
Here we go.
With the fullness of your I'm
I speak to Jesus. I speak Jesus. Speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause we know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows.
every stronghold seen alive.
Thank you, praise and worship. Let us give a clap offering, to the praise and worship band for all their hard work. Amen. Welcome everyone today in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names, the only God that we worship, the God of heaven and earth. There is none like him. As you can see, Pastor Zeno and Pastor Maria are not here today. They are not here in the flesh, but they are here in the spirit. So we praise your name, Father God, that we're all come back into order here. We're established in your word, and the service will continue. This morning, I woke up praying for the children, and before I left, the Lord gave me, I have a prayer actually on my iPhone, and he brought me to that. So I'm going to be praying that. I put the precious blood of Jesus upon every child here in the name of Jesus. They are secured in God. The enemy cannot touch them. They're covered with a wall of fire all around them in the mighty name of Jesus. They are free from every attack of the enemy. Amen. As the families pray for them, the intercession prayers are covering them. The Holy Spirit hovers over them, and they are secure in Christ in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, they will accomplish many things in their lives in the name of Jesus. I'm going to read this prayer that has been on my iPhone. We just place all the children everywhere in the world of all ages into your gentle hands, powerful hands of Jesus. We thank you, Father, you have mercy on them. They are saved and they're free from all rebellion, lewdness, laziness, and greed. They may be conscious of your presence at all times. Take away any confusion, hopelessness, anxiety, and depression. Release your supernatural faith, love, hope, and peace in them. Heal any broken hearts as you replace it with your joy and strength to withstand all the temptations that come before them. Teach them, Lord, how to yearn for righteousness, to detest lies and immorality. Preserve their innocence, Lord. Keep their hearts pure. Save the children from every snare set up by the devil and the world that surrounds them. We claim victory for each child in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. They walk according to the will of the Father. They will be doing great things in your kingdom. They are absorbing and soaking the word. The Holy Spirit, the oil of the Holy Spirit touches every child here in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. They are free from sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus covers them completely in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, as they go into their schools and the older ones going onto the internet or to their cell phones. I declare and say that the doors are shut to the enemy's strategy of deception in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. They're secure in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. As they go to their Sunday school classes. And also bless the teachers that are teaching them the pure word of God. I have actually two messages going on in my mind, so I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are directing my path. And I only speak the oracles of God in pureness of heart. In Jesus' name, open the ears of the hearers that it won't be just the same word, but it is word of remembrance. Sometimes we need that word of remembrance to come back into us that we so need. In Jesus' name. This week I was drawn to Psalm 103. And we're just going to, as the Lord leads, right now we're on verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." When we look at the first two verses, we see David. He is so enthralled with God. He's giving his soul, his mind, his will, and emotions to God. And he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me." He said he wants more of God in the name of Jesus. He knows that in him we live and move and have our being. In the mighty name of Jesus, he's offering up a sacrifice of praise to the Most High for all that God has done in his life, the miracles he's gone through, the battles and war, the time he was with Bathsheba, and he had her husband killed. It's a sign of a murderer, but God says, "I forgive you. Anything that you have done, just come to me. I forgive your sins. Come to me, and I will forgive your sins and give you a new life." He knows about that. He cries out to the Lord. He cries when he was in a cave hiding from armies. He has so much on his mind, sometimes he feels faint within his soul. But he knows he has to encourage himself in the Lord. And he does that, and it brings him up and lifts him up higher to God. And he knows more and more of God. God unveils more of himself to him. He's got acquainted with the Lord in a very vibrant way. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God. He's the God who forgives all iniquities and heals all our diseases. We thank you that part, he forgives all our sins. And Father God, he heals the diseases upon us. By faith, we must receive our healing. And we work at it. God has miraculous ways of healing. It could be a miracle. It could be that he wants us in the word, proclaiming the word daily till healing comes. There's different methods of healing. He's healed the brokenhearted. There's recovery of sight to blind. There's deliverance for captives who are oppressed. There's deliverance for backsliding, from leprosy. It goes on and on. So if I read in Acts 28, 27. We just thank you for Jesus. There's none like him, no other God. The God of mercy and grace. It says here, let's start at verse 26 of Acts 28, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should be converted, and I should heal them. In conversion, in a spiritual rebirth, the blood of Jesus touches us with a reborn again, a born again experience. And then we're converted. Then our eyes are open, and we can hear and understand things of the spirit realm that we couldn't when we were in darkness. We thank you. It's a healing of salvation, the first step of coming into a Christian. He heals our soul. And we thank you, Father God, as we draw closer and closer to you day by day. In the mighty name of Jesus. It says he redeems our life from destruction or corruption. Who crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercy. Thank you, Father God. Psalm 5:12 says, the Lord will bless the righteous with favor, and then thou compass him or crowns him as with a shield. We thank you, Father God. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, to show forth the praises of God, the marvelous light of God that now has come into the world, into our life. People that have known us from before will not recognize us because of the power of God unto salvation. He has immensely changed our lives. We are now praising and worshiping the Most High God. Where before we were called into drinking beer, whiskey, taking drugs, all kinds of crazy things, going with the course of the world. But through the blood of Jesus, there's a renewed mind that takes place, and we're not the same. The renewal must continue in our minds as we read the word, so we don't backslide. The precious word of glory. Thank you, Jesus. We are not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. We ourselves have to renew our minds. We come one with Jesus in communion, but there's a working with us and with God to accomplish it. It's not all just going to happen like that. We need to, and God wants us to be in communion with him through the word, so we will grow spiritually. He says that he satisfies your mouth with good things. Isaiah 49:2 says, I have made your mouth a sharp sword. When you speak God's word, you're lining up with heaven. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, that cuts through the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and bone and marrow and the intents of your heart. It is the Lord that shows you when you're doing wrong. You'll get a nudging in your spirit. And to grow spiritually, you need to say, yes, Lord, I did wrong, and repent of it and go forth. Now you're growing in Christ. So we thank you, Lord. He says your youth is renewed like an eagle. God can make you strong and energetic like a young person. I was reading in Joshua 13:1. If we can just go, just a couple of things here. Joshua 13:1. if I can, I have to find it now. Let's see here. Oh, here we go. It says, now Joshua was old and stricken. So now for him, he's probably over 80 years old. And the Lord said to him, the Lord didn't look at him as being over 80. The Lord doesn't see him sitting in a rocking chair, rocking up and down. He says, the Lord said to him, thou art old and well stricken in years. And there remains very much land to be set, to be possessed. There's more for you to do. And he goes through all the scripture of all the things he has to do for the Lord, and it can be overwhelming. But when we get into Joshua 14, verse 7, it says, 40 years old was I when Moses, a servant of the Lord, set me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. When we now go to verse 10 of Joshua 14, verse 10, it says, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years. Now, you add on 45 years, and suppose he was, you know, in his 80s. These 45 years from when he started. He says, the Lord spake this word to Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. So now he's 85 years old. And what does Joshua say in verse 11? As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength, and then even so is my strength now. For war, he's still continuing the war, that would the assignment of the Lord, both to go out and to come in. So he's still going. I guess this is a message for the seniors. Keep on going. Sometimes we think, you know, oh yeah, I'm this age and that age, I need to sleep. Get yourself in the Word and meditate. This is a good word to meditate on, for sure. If you meditate on this, 120 years. So thank you, Jesus. We look at Moses, Deuteronomy 34:7. Moses was 120 years old when he died. It says his eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. The natural vigor diminished comes from the New King James Version. Now we look at Sarah, the wife of Abraham. In Genesis, Abraham says to Sarah, he says, I want you to say you are my sister. And he looked at his wife and he says, you are a beautiful woman. This woman, Sarah, the mother of all nations, she was shining like a light. She was well over 80 years old. And King Amalek wanted to take him in his harem and have her with as many concubines. And what happened? She was looking so young for her age that younger men were looking at her. And she was well over the age, maybe, that someone would want to look at her. So that is something. The youth renewed like an eagle. In Job, it says, let my flesh be fresher than my childhood. And I remember when Dr. Sorella was here, and he had that flesh-eating disease on his leg. And he showed his leg, and the flesh on his leg was so pure and soft in that. So it's fresher than his childhood. He received that healing at that time. It took time, but he prayed earnestly for a delivery from this disease, and he got it, along with his wife praying alongside with him and many other people. But there was a waiting period, but he did receive healing. It says here that um, They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall run. They shall walk and not be faint. In verse 30 of Isaiah 40, verse 30 says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. So the youth get into a weariness stage too. And as parents, we have to look at these teenagers or the younger ones and see that they can be encamped by the enemy. As we prayed this morning for all this sexual perversion that's going on in the world, pornography, and all these things that people entrapped it, they come out of it by the blood and the name of Jesus. I saw a program on Daystar the other day. A young man said he was addicted to pornography. And he says, I've been out of pornography for a month now. Not a month, but a year. It encaptures you. It spoils you. It's not the pureness and holiness of God. You are defiled. You need to ask the Lord, repent from that, and ask for cleansing from all defilement of the evil one. The evil one is running across the earth, who we can capture. And we must stop it in the name of Jesus. When we look at, he says, you shall mount up your wings as an eagle. The bird is the eagle, bald eagle, is a very majestic bird. Now, we could look at it as protection and deliverance, but what is it saying about us? It's saying we are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It says, mount up. We are fixed on the kingdom's principles, not the things of this world. We are steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The bald eagle also has a very sharp vision. We say that we are focused on the Word of God. We are not contaminated by the Word. We stand on the incorruptible, uncompromising Word of God as we have been taught here. And we do not waver. When we waver, we go from the truth to our own opinions and issues. And then how are you going to get an answer through prayer? You have to be fixed and know that the word is the word. It's accomplished to do what it does as we speak it. God is able to perform it. But you must be steadfast. If you come off the word, occasionally it does. Catch yourself immediately, repent, and continue on with the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. We will seek those things above where Christ sits, at the right hand of our Father. Our minds are not on things of this earth, but the things of heaven. The Word of God is heaven brought down to earth. And holy men of God were inspired as they both the Word of God, and also it was God-breathed, but not only that, inspiration came through the voice. God uses your voice as a voice of God to get through to a congregation, through many nations. His Word is secure, and there's no opinion. No opinion about God's Word whatsoever. In the name of Jesus. When I look at soaring like an eagle, what was coming to mind that greatness is upon our lives. And just as he says, we're a chosen generation, a holy priesthood. We are kings and priests of the Most High God, and we move in the anointing and power of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living. There's no limits to what God can do in your life. We grow and develop as a Christian. We're at different dimensions spiritually. We must acknowledge this. We're not all at the same spiritual level. And we have to be patient where we are with other people and vice versa. We can't put anyone down because we are to operate in love. They will get there. If you see something they're not sure of, pray for them And God, the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, teaches them all things. In verse 6 of Psalm 103, it says, he executes judgment and righteousness, or righteousness and judgment for all oppressed. God is there for the helpless people, the ones that are stricken by the enemy, causing them to be enfolded in depression. They don't even know how to get out of it. We must pray for these people that they come out, because they are people of the Lord too. And God loves every nation, all colors. He loves people, period. So he is for any religion that is on the earth. He's there for them too, that they will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus as Lord and Savior. As we go on to verse 20 in Psalms 103, where am I now? It says here, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength and do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of God. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Into this psalm, he's saying to bless the Lord with all your soul, but now he's talking to angels, the hosts of heaven. He says to the hosts of heaven, bless ye the Lord. Bless him, bless him, bless him. The blessings that David has in his heart for the Lord are enormous. And he blesses him because he knows God will take him through all kinds of situations. We thank you, Father God, that Jesus, God the Father, had given Jesus the Spirit without measure. May we as a church know the love of God, which is beyond measure. It's beyond the love we have for our children. It's past understanding. He loves people. He loves you. He loves everybody. Ephesians 3:19 says, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with the fullness of God. And the Amplified Bible at the end says something else, not something else, but agrees with it, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. The source of all our blessings is Jesus. He blesses us with forgiveness, his healing power, redemption from all destruction. His tender mercies and his loving kindness is with us. He's more than enough. I thank you, Father God, for the word of the Lord today, that it is so precious for us to be with Jesus, the only one that could bring comfort in the time of pain and anguish. It is only him that can work through us in this anointing. We thank you, Father. Father God, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, peace within her palaces, and peace within her walls. I found, we'll conclude with this. Just by chance last night, I found Psalm 125, and it's the Lord's defense for his people, protection of righteousness, declaring his power of wickedness. Wickedness cannot endure. Prayer for the upright, a curse on the wicked, and a call for peace of Israel. If we can maybe all read it together, and we'll end the service right now with this part of the segment of the service, Psalm 125. If we can all, can we arise, stand up? Because Christ is in us, and so is he with Israel, is God's beloved. And we can all say together this psalm. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. Now remember, he's talking about the Jewish people in Israel. This whole psalm is about the Jewish people. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, So the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. I thank you, Father God, for the precious word of Jesus. And the songs that we sung all pertained to things that were said today. We thank you, Father God, that we are pure in spirit, soul, and mind, that we are blameless until the coming of the Lord. His coming is soon. Prepare yourself for many things. There's many things that are going to be happening in the world. Darkness is coming upon the world in a greater measure. We need to get closer to God and recognize who he is and be faithful to him. He was faithful for us. He sent Jesus. Can you imagine dying on the cross? Being hung on a cross and being beaten? We thank you, Lord, as we come into communion, communicating with you, Lord. We communicate with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Because, Lord, you are steadfast, unshakable. Your reputation can never be tarnished. Too many times it's because we don't know what to do. We have not understood, we have not received. There are all kinds of reasons. That's why your word says, my people perish because of their lack of knowledge. But tonight we cry out to you, O God, that you will remember your covenant for us. And Lord, O God, that you will help us in our helpless estate. And Lord, O God, that you will cover for us and see us through every situation that we'll ever face. Be God in our lives. We confess, Lord, to you. Father, we believe. Help thou our unbeliefs. We trust. And when, Lord, O God, we are scared witless, be the God who upholds us with your right hand of righteousness. For in you we have fullness of life. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you this evening in the house of the Lord. If I were just one in the congregation, the best advice I'll give myself is that I don't miss any services. That's the best advice I'll give myself. Because missing a service is missing too much. You're missing too much. And when you miss that much, you slow down your speed of growth. Because pertinent information that you need to experience your breakthrough in life, you don't have it. It's like somebody walking and you don't have the right tools. And that's what it is when you miss the opportunity to be fed the Word of God and you're not there to receive the tools that you need. You start trying to unscrew bolts with your table knife. Makes life difficult. You need the right tools. You might be able to unscrew the bolts with pliers, but there is the right tool that makes it easier. And when you miss services, you make things difficult for yourself. Now, you're here, so why am I telling you that? I just feel led by the Spirit of God to tell you that. Have an opportunity and seize it every time so that you can flourish in the goodness of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Having said that, if you miss the morning service, make sure you get that service, because that's a very foundational message. And if you miss that ingredient that we're dealing with this morning, you've missed too much. You know, we had a few years of COVID, right? And the net result, because people were not in school like they should be, we have kids that are three grades behind in their reading and in their math. If that happens in the natural, what do you think happens in the realm of the spirit? You're many grades behind. So you need to catch up. Some of you need to just be in every possible service, because God brought you to this church to raise you up. Amen? This is not some anyhow church, some fun church where you don't know where your left hand is from your right. This is a place, a training camp, where you are trained in the Word of God. And you're filled to the overflowing for a purpose. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, this evening, I want to continue what we started talking about this morning. This morning, we're talking about guarding your heart. Guarding the heart. And we went at it from different angles on why your heart needs to be guarded. Now, this morning, I made a comment. I said, this evening, I'm going to deal with a particular aspect. And that aspect was the aspect where we talked about idle words. That is found in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. I want to explore that with you tonight, because this that we're about to talk about tonight is so fundamentally connected to everything in your life and my life. You need this ingredient. It seems so benign, and it looks like God just went past it, but this is fundamental. Somebody say fundamental. Okay. This is maybe one of the most important things you can hear. So listen up. Hallelujah. What did I say? Listen. Listen. You know, my dad used to pull on his ear. He says, "Are you hearing me?" You know, we were speaking in our native language, with you. Are you hearing? So do that for yourself today. Say, are you hearing? Well, that's what the Lord just says. Let them who have ears hear. In Matthew 12 and verse 36, he says, but I say unto you, but I say unto you. Now, if he says, but I say unto you, he must have said something prior. So let's take it from verse 33. And there he tells us, he said, make the tree good. Make it good. Or keep it good. And his fruit good. Or else make the tree corrupt. Which means it started out good, but it got corrupted. He says, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. It's not known by the tree. The tree is the tree. It's an orange tree. It's an apple tree. It is what it is. But it can reflect the true, authentic self that it is. Good, or it will come out diseased, corrupted. And he says, you have the responsibility to that. And that's not the responsibility of God. It's you do it. You determine whether the fruit of your life is going to be good or it's going to be corrupted. You make that decision. But How, Lord? By what's going to come out of your mouth? And we're going to explore that a little bit. Amen? That's why I left this aspect alone for tonight. Because it's too important to just brush over. And then he says, oh, generation of vipers. Vipers are poisonous snakes. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? So if you have an evil heart, you're not going to be able to speak good things. But how did your heart become evil? How do you become that being? Present tense, continuous, evil. How did you become this one with an evil nature? By what you have embraced because you did not protect your heart. And you have filled your heart with a lot of junk. And out of that junk, evil is spewing out. You've embraced hurts. And you kept it. Disappointments, and you kept it. Rejection, and you kept it. All kinds of things that do not feed you and make you stand in that surely goodness. All things work together for my good. Because you have not stayed in that place of thanksgiving, no matter what's happening around you. Please hear me tonight. No matter what is happening around you, be thankful. You feel pain? Be thankful. Because if you don't feel pain, blood is not flowing in there. And that place is D-E-A-D, dead, and needs to be amputated. You're leprous. So the very fact that you felt pain tells you something. Because if you feel pain, you know when to pull away. Oh, that's a hot plate. Ooh, shouldn't touch that. But it does not mean that you don't work with hot things. Fire is needed. But fire out of control is destructive. But because fire destroys doesn't mean fire doesn't do good. Everything, listen, everything in this life has good embedded in it. Even the bee that stung you, it has good in it. It's meant to do something. The wind is meant to do something. But because the wind destroyed something does not mean I say, oh God, I don't want to see wind anymore. You're dead goat. Wind is good. You can use wind to do a lot of things. Hello? You know, while people are complaining about, oh, there's a tornado coming, there are some people who are so excited, oh, there's going to be waves. And they go to the beach and start riding the big waves. Hey! They're having fun. From the bad thing, they find some good. Huh? Is that not true? Because a car killed somebody the other day doesn't mean the car is bad. And what we do many times is we look at the bad. This thing happened, it's bad. What about looking at the flip side of it and saying, where is the good in this bad thing that just happened? Let me give God thanks. Do you know how many things God has saved you from? You had a flat tire and you're busy kicking your car. Do you know if God just delivered you from an accident and you would have died? You're busy kicking, oh God, I'm late for that job. Maybe you needed to be late for that job because that job is going to take you out of your destiny. Father, I don't understand, but I give you thanks. You're a good God, and you saw this before I got here. So, Lord, I give you praise. I had a need. This church had a need, and I called out some people. But you know what? I was talking to the Lord. I said, I've gotten this far doing and trying to resolve this situation. Why didn't you take me all the way? He said, because I want to give my people an opportunity to sow and invest in that. I said, okay, but there's so many other things. An opportunity. Am I supposed to tell everybody? No. I have something on my mind. So I set aside whatever reasons I had. I just set it aside. I said, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to talk about this. And God, meet this need. Amen. I could look at that situation and see all the reasons why not. But God was looking at it and saying, there's good here because I have something I want to do with this. Okay. Who am I to stop God from doing what he wants to do with his people? God wants to engage you in your miracle. Amen? Let me say that again. God wants to engage you in your miracle. Word of God says, a good man out of the good treasure, based on what you have treasured in your heart, you will bring forth good things. And the word things there is synonymous to words. It is synonymous to the manifestation of things, the production of things. But God says, out of a good heart, you're going to manifest good things. However, an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And then he says, but I say unto you, now that throws this whole thing off. Or does it? He says, but I say unto you that every idle word that a man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. Now, let's look at the word idle from the English, and then we'll go into the language. Idle means something that's doing nothing. It's just there. Yeah? So we can talk about, oh, those people are idle, meaning they're doing nothing. Then we can talk about a car that is idling. Yeah? That means it's running, but it's not going anywhere. But while it's idling, it's burning gas. Are you with me? So you're occupying and burning energy without producing anything. But I say unto you that every idle word, the word is the word agos. Agos. And it means inactive. Every inactive word. But it also, the word agos means unemployed. Watch this. So God is saying, every unemployed word. Huh. That's interesting. Unemployed word. You mean the word needs to be employed? In other words, the word needs to be given an assignment. The word argos means the word can be translated lazy. Lazy. Meaning you shunning the responsibility of something that you need to be engaged in. So you'd say about a lazy person, they should be doing something, but they are not doing it. And you're thinking, Pastor, what are you talking about? What is this lazy word? What is this unemployed word? What is God saying here? Let me back up to this morning. I said to you, if you have nothing good to say, say something good. Always have something good to say. Now I want to explain to you really the bottom line. The fact is, child of God, you, when God created you, God breathed his word inside of you. You're full of words. The words that you are full of are the words of God. Let me say it again. The words that you are full of are the words of God. And the words that you are full of, which are the words of God, are God in your life. Come on. Are you staying with me? Because when God created everything, the Bible says that he created it with his words. But the Psalms tell us that that creation of God that he created with his words, the word of God says it was created by the breath of God. But then the word of God tells us that when God created you, God breathed into you. So if it is his words that created everything, but his words that created everything were his breath, when God breathed into you, he breathed his words into you. Are you with me? So God's word says, you either make those words good or you corrupt them. Could God possibly have said when he saw the earth, oh, this is a big mess? But is that what he said? No. He said something good. He commanded light to come out of darkness. Let there be light. Oh, God, this man is going to kill me. My children are going to kill me. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to die. You are prophesying your death. Oh, this useless kids. Guess what those kids are going to be? Useless. They're going to be bombs sitting everywhere doing nothing with their pants. Huh? You wear the 24 waist, now you go buy a 26 waist that won't fit you. So where is it going to fit? Way down here. Like we want to see your behind. Can't even walk. Well, that's what is expected of you, and that's what has been spoken into your life, and that's exactly what you're going to live out. And so many people are fighting against words that have been spoken, words from parents, words from children. Those words were activated. They were given an assignment. So it wasn't unemployed. They were just corrupt words. But there are so many people who say, well, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Keeping your mouth shut is not what God wants. Because God allowed you to experience whatever it is you're experiencing, so that you can be a voice of change. So you can be a voice of transformation. Not to confirm the negative thing, but to speak life. The resurrection life. And turn not just your life, but somebody else's life around by speaking life. So I was just talking about that kid, whoever that kid is. So what should I say? This child has a future, and God will help him accomplish his divine purpose. You created in the image and the likeness of God, and you'll be a testimony to your generation. And with this, he'll sit behind a computer and start doing some stuff, and before you know it, he's changing his world. Because it's not how many tattoos that you have that will make you or break you. Look at the world that we're living in right now. In the 60s and 70s, especially 70s, we had a lot of people that we called hippies. Yeah? Guess where those so-called hippies are? A lot of them are CEOs. Huh? Oh, the world is coming to an end. The world is not coming to an end. Not until Jesus comes and deals with that. He says, occupy till I come. He didn't say, go about telling everybody the world is ending. We are all done. We're finished. We're kaput. Oh, the whole world is falling apart. Don't be doing that. And stop saying the harvest is way down the line. He said, no, don't say that. The harvest is now. It is white and ready. Oh, my city is so hard. No, I didn't tell you that. Did I tell you that your city is hard? But with our own mouths, we confess all kinds of negativity. Oh, the witches, they are taking over. Who told you that? You just engaged in negative word, and now you just employed the words of your corruption into your city, into your family, into your country, into whatever. Meanwhile, God is saying, pray for your leaders. Oh, that leader, he's terrible. Oh, that Trudeau guy, oh. God knows whether Trudeau is good or bad. All he says is for you to pray for your leaders so that it will be well with you. But what do we as believers do? We engage in words that are not employed to go do any good thing. Guess what? The words of God, the good words of God inside of you will not engage with your negative conviction. But the devil will come and take your negative words and begin to do things in the earth. Idle words. It says you can give an account on the day of judgment for them. What are these idle words? They are slow words. They are unproductive words. They are barren words. Now let me go a little bit further. By saying to us that when a prophetic word is spoken, when you receive a prophetic word, a wholesome word, that from your mouth, that word needs to be engaged and sent on an assignment. Every word that you receive prophetically needs to be employed. What did I say? Needs to be employed. You know, give it a job to do. How do you give it a job? By saying, I receive, amen, the word that the Lord has spoken to me today, and I send it forth to accomplish that divine purpose for my life. You just employed it. It is no longer sitting down there, jobless. Now you just gave it a job. Go do what you were told and assigned to do. Guess what? That word, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. which means that the Word of God has the faith that it needs in it. Hallelujah. And the very fact that you heard that Word of God was so that you can give that Word an assignment. Is somebody listening? Are we communicating? The Word of God needs to be given an assignment. It does not automatically go. You, because the Word of God says, He will do nothing in the earth. God will do nothing except He first reveals His secrets to His servants, the prophets. And what does a prophet do? A prophet prophesies, foretells, and forth tells. Yeah? Foretelling and foretelling. That's what a prophet does. And God is giving us the key to that release. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say or keep on saying. But when you stand praying, forgive. In other words, don't have any bitterness. Don't poison your heart with unforgiveness. Speak out of the spirit of love, because faith worketh by what? Love. And you cannot love and be bitter at the same time. The Lord speaking through James, He says, one well cannot bring sweet water and bitter water at the same time. What is coming out of your mouth? Bitterness or the sweetness of the goodness of God? In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. This is what Paul, writing to Timothy, says. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee. They went before on thee, that thou by them, these prophecies that went before on thee, mightst war a good warfare. So what was he supposed to do? Engage the prophetic word that he's received. And that prophetic word that he has received is what's going to fight for him. He said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, employ the words that God has spoken to you already, that he put inside of you already. Employ those words. What does that mean? That means I am not forever and forever asking, oh God, I need a husband. Oh God, I need a wife. Oh God, I need a car. Oh God, I need a house. The house is inside of you. The wife is in you. The husband is in you. The car is in you. And it has nothing to do with how much you have in your pocket. It has everything to do with the word of God in your mouth that has been employed and sent forth to bring about that which has gone before you. The prophetic word goes before you and is on you. So that which is before you and on you, your future and your present, come and kiss each other. Is somebody listening? Amen. These are keys of the kingdom. Keys. God. Your word says, in blessing, you will bless me, and in multiplying, you will multiply me, and my seeds shall possess their possessions. Father, I thank you that I'm blessed beyond description. Oh, you started me from the blessing, and from one level of blessing to another. You are glorifying your name in my life. You've made me head and not tail, above only and not beneath. You birthed me from above, and that which came from above is above all. And every enemy is under my foot. In the mighty name of Jesus, I rest, O God, in your goodness. Surely your goodness and your mercy follow me all the days of my life. Oh, follow me now. Follow me, goodness. Follow me, mercy. Follow me. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh, Father, I give you praise. Your faithfulness is demonstrated in my life. You've made me head and not tail, above only, never beneath. Far above all principalities, far above all powers, far above all rulers of the darkness, of the wickedness of this world. Father, I am far above, and I'm seated in Christ Jesus. In heavenly places. Father, I give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Circumstances bow to the name of Jesus Christ. You spirit of poverty, you spirit of lack that's trying to attack me, I send the word of God against you now. You are bound by the word of God that says about me that I am prosperous. For I favor his righteous cause. Let them shout for joy. I favor God's righteous cause. Let them say, and you prophesy. You send in the word of God to go ahead of you. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants, of his children. I'm a child of the Most High God. God takes pleasure in my prosperity. I cannot do anything else but prosper. Hallelujah. I will succeed in my going out and in my coming in. Praise God. I praise you, Lord. I give you praise. And I thank you that the earth is yielding its increase to me. Now, in the name of Jesus, earth, yield your increase to me. I'm a worshiper. I'm a worshiper. God has located me because I worship him in spirit and in truth. What am I doing? I'm fighting. Hallelujah. I'm employing the word of God. I am not griping about my circumstance. I'm saying what I want to see happen in my life. But our attitude many times is that we don't engage the word of God. The word of God tells us that the angels of God give heed to the instruction of the word of God. not to my griping. It's not to my griping that they listen to. You can gripe and complain and cry all you want, and the angel of the Lord will not move. Will not move. Because he's still not employed. But when you send forth the word of God, it's like engaging the gear, the transmission. And as you engage the transmission, your vehicle is no longer what? Idle. Ah, you got it. It's no longer idle. It's engaged. Because you gave the right word. You gave the right word. You know, the people of the world sometimes know these principles and they work on it, and even in their own crazy way, they will say the things that I'm talking about right now. You know, I remember growing up and reading about Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. How many of you read the book, Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves? Yeah? You know, and the door only opens when he says, open what? Sesame. Sesame. Sesame sounds like saying same thing. And you confessing, saying the same thing. Remember, I taught you that years ago about how you break the stronghold of iniquity and how you receive everything God has for you. It is to do homologia, saying the same thing. I explained it to you. Like when you first get a credit card, you cannot just go and start using the credit card when you get started. You have to call in to the person or company or organization or institution that gave you that credit card and certify or validate that card. Then you can use it. True or not? That's how it goes. The same thing with the promises of God. The promises of God are there, but you cannot claim it until you confess it. Everybody on the planet is saved, as far as God is concerned. Jesus died for everybody. But you are not saved until you receive what he said by confessing that Jesus is the Lord of your life. And as soon as you do that, bang, what God planned for you becomes your reality. Yeah? Same thing, child of God. You've got to speak the prophetic word. Now, let me go a little bit on this. Now, you have to understand that the prophetic word, when it's spoken, puts in place a particular result for your life. So, for example, if the prophetic word said that you are called to be a doctor. That is God's assignment, the way God sees it. But you decide that you're not going to study medicine, you're going to study engineering. Guess what's going to happen? You're going to be hanging around, struggling for a long time because you're not where The assignment of the Lord is. Now, you may end up becoming that engineer and be frustrated, never happy. You have all the money, and you thought this is what my life is supposed to be. Listen, if God said you're supposed to be a doctor, it doesn't matter how much you've spent to become an engineer. Switch. Or do this. Are you ready? Lord, I know I received a word that I'm supposed to be a doctor, a surgeon, or whatever, a dentist. But here I am. I forgot about the prophetic word. Or I don't like the sight of blood, so I decided to become an engineer. At least all I will see is some oil. That doesn't freak me out. But Lord, I repent. Forgive me for my error. Give me a fresh start. Have mercy on me. And God will make two decisions, two possible decisions. He'll say, you know, son, inbuilt in you is the capacity to do all of those things. But tell you what, you did engineering? Yes. Okay. I'm still going to connect you with medicine. Lord, how? I'm going to download into you right now, by my spirit, the capacity to use your engineering skills to do something that will help in the field of medicine. Are you with me? And God can just turn it around and still use you to accomplish what you are supposed to accomplish. Another phase of it. Or God will take your stubborn self and get you started again. And he might just help you pay, give you scholarship or whatever, and you go through that process again, or speedify, and you accomplish whatever you need to accomplish quicker than other people are doing it. But you know, sometimes your prophetic word is the word that's standing against you. It's fighting you because you are not humble to follow through with what he said to you to do. Hallelujah. Are we together? We need to engage. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12. So wrap up, this is important. Remember what we said, we need to engage the word of God. Yes? Now on God's side, God says in his word, I will hasten my word to perform the prophetic declaration over your life. He says, I'll hasten it. I'll give speed to my word to bring about the performance of that word. So that's one thing God tells us. He's going to do. I'm going to perform my word. Based on what? Based on what you have seen. But what did Jeremiah see? He saw an almond tree. Last week or sometime recently, I shared with you about the almond rod of Aaron. that was put inside the tabernacle. That rod of Aaron budded, was fruitful, but it was not planted, and it was not in a place where light came in. It was in the Holy of Holies. It was there with other planting, other rods, but Aaron's rod, which was chosen, is the one that budded. Because God was saying, I have chosen him. And even though the environment, circumstantially, scientifically, horticulturally, did not say that it was supposed to be fruitful, it did. When you are in the will of God, God will surprise you. And you will produce in impossible situations. In the natural world, we talk about location, 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 location. That's the thing, location, location, location. But in God, it is not location, 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 location. It's about God. When John the Baptist was busy preaching the gospel or preaching about the Messiah, he was not in Jerusalem, was he? He was out in the wilderness, in the boonies. And people went to find him in the boonies. Is that not true? And he had one word. And he proclaimed that one word. And even Jesus came to him out there in the boonies. Hey, why it's you? You should be in Jerusalem. No, in the boonies. Why? Because that's where God wants me to be. Where God wants you to be is where the word of God is going to prosper for you. Amen? And understand that prosperity is not in God, it's not defined in terms of what we in the natural define as prosperity. In Luke 1:45, the word of God says, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. This is Elizabeth talking to Mary. There's going to be a performance of those things which the Lord said to you, Mary. God is going to perform. God is going to bring to pass. The word of God is going to be quickened, hastened to bring it to pass. Now, let me wrap the evening by making this one point. All we've said so far is that the word of God needs to be engaged. Now, there is a supernatural way that God causes us to engage the word of God. that bypasses our natural mindset. Because sometimes if you start prophesying or declaring what the Word of God says, you will hold your mouth and say, oops, I don't know that. What was that? Hey, stop being proud. Because what God is saying out of your mouth is so big. So how does God bypass the limitations of my natural mind? He gives me the Holy Spirit so that I can speak in something called tongues. And while you are speaking in tongues, you are engaging the Word of God that's inside of you. As you're speaking it, it's connecting, and things start moving faster than you can imagine. And then they start coming in. Because every word that you speak comes back to you. The word of God spoken shall not return back to him void, but will accomplish whatever it is that it was sent for. What God's word is inside of you, being launched out, comes back. It is the law of the Spirit. And by the way, if you missed it, get this point. Every word comes back. And therefore, when you speak corrupt words, the corrupt words do what? Come back. You think you're abusing somebody, you just abused yourself. You're gossiping about somebody, you just gossiped about yourself. Because that's a seed that you sow, and you're going to have a harvest of it. So if you don't want it, don't engage it. That makes sense? Only engage what you want in your life. That's the only thing you need to send going. The point is, you've got words inside of you, words that are good, that have been spoken to you. Engage those words. Employ them. Let it be unto me according to thy what? Words. You receive a prophetic word from a man or woman of God. Let it be unto me according to thy word. That is your greatest declaration of amen. For Jesus, the word of God, is our amen. In the book of Revelation, is that what it says? Receive the word of the Lord. Be transformed by it. Engage the word of God. And let the trajectory of our lives align with the perfect will of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. No word of the enemy is allowed to prosper in your life. God says, I created the destroyer. He says, but I tell you what, that one that has the weaponry and the mindset to destroy, he said it has no right to do anything against you because no weapons fashioned against you shall prosper. Amen? It shall not prosper. He says, I tell you what, you have the right to do what? Condemn it. This is the heritage of the saints. So if you don't condemn it, guess what? It will prosper. So you need to condemn it. I do not receive that. That is not my portion. In the mighty name of Jesus, the shield of faith quenches every fiery dart. Lord, things that I know about, things that I don't know about, you are my shelter, my refuge. I hide in you. Oh, blessed Father, thank you, Lord, that you don't sleep, you don't slumber, but you give your beloved sleep. And as your beloved, I am not going to walk in vain. I am not going to watch in vain. I am not going to build in vain. I rest in your goodness, O God, knowing, O God, that you've got my back. I am covered. I am in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you, Lord. My mouth shall only speak good things. Good things. Hallelujah. I receive goodness. I proclaim goodness, wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. And I thank you that you've given to me the gift of righteousness. Therefore, wealth and riches are in my house. Word of God, manifest it in my life. I come in agreement with the prophetic words of God concerning my life. I come in agreement with that now of God. For the future is now, the past is now, and all God requires of me is that which is past, which is now. And God, you already spoke my future in the past. Therefore now, I am moving in the blessing of your goodness. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Is on? Okay, great. Wow. Wow. That is an awesome service. But I'm here because I'm going to ask you to bring your tithes and your offerings to this storehouse. And you love the Lord. Everyone here is born again. Everyone has Jesus in their heart here. Awesome. Well, if you have Jesus in your heart, consider what he did for you on the cross. When he went to that cross, bore everything that the enemy tried to put on you, took it, nailed it there once and for all, shed his blood on your behalf, my behalf, on the whole world. And he gave, and he gave. For God said that he gave his only begotten Son for all of us, not just for a few, for all those who come and acknowledge Jesus as Lord of their life. And when you ponder that and you think what an awesome God, who, any one of us here would give their life for another man? Who? I cannot think of anybody else but Jesus Christ to give you a new life, to give you a new beginning. So if you love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, you'd be so joyful at this time of the service. I've been in a church service where the people were so happy that they came to the altar waving their offering to honor the Lord. And that's where we should be. We all should be thankful, praising the God, because tithing is part of worship. So if you worship the Lord, you will tithe, you will give, you will bring tithes and offerings on it. Some of them brought daily in the Old Testament. Some of them came daily and did it. We do it once a week, and it's only 10% of your dollar, and he leaves you 90% of the rest. Now, that can multiply as you, God blesses you more. You don't have to just stick with 10%. You can go on and give plenty more. You could be the biggest giver because you love the Lord. Don't do it out of necessity. 1 Corinthians 9 tells us that God loves a cheerful giver, not anyone out of necessity. But I'm going to read you some facts here. I had my phone here. I'm going to read this to you before you. Okay, I'm going to tell you. This is interesting, I read, to note that in the Bible, the word believe is used only 272 times. The word pray is used 371 times. The word love is used 714 times. But the word give is used 2,162 times. This is in the Word of God. So what does that tell you when I give you all these numbers? What's more important? Yes, giving. 2,162 times it's mentioned in the Bible. So that must be very important to the Lord. So if that's important to the Lord, it's got to be important to us as believers who love the Lord. Right? Amen. So I ask you, if you haven't already brought your tithes and offerings up, bring it now. And release it, believing as you give, you're going to receive back what he's promised you. Don't just throw that in there. God doesn't get no pleasure out of anybody just, okay, here's my offering, here's my tithe. No, he takes pleasure in prospering those that come with a joyful heart because they love him. So let's bow our heads, and I'm going to pray over you right now. Thank you, Father God, for this day. It is a day that you made for us to rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank you, Father, for your word has said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, men will give into your bosoms. Father God, I ask that you bless each and every giver here that brought their tithes, their offerings, their vows to your storehouse, Father God Almighty, so that there will be much meat in your house. Bless them going in, coming out. Bless their whole household. May they bring joy to others with their blessing that's upon their life. May they bless those who come in contact with them on a daily basis. Whoever they met on the street, bless and curse not. Thank you, Father, for those all present here in Jesus' name. Amen. And at this time, I'm going to ask anyone who needs a communion cup. Does everybody have communion? You got your communion? Okay. All right. At this time, I'm going to call up Pastor Paul to do the communion for us. God bless you.
Father God, God is good all the time. Thank you, Loretta. That was a good, very good message about giving. It's important to give. Jesus gave his heart, gave his life, more than his heart. He gave his whole entire life. He was sent by his Father. He became his son to give his life so that we would have eternal life, so that we would have abundant life here on earth as well. pastor gave us a very good message today. Message that we need to speak the right things. Now we know the devil is always around trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But we have been given authority over these things. Last night I had a bit of a dream. Not going to go through the whole thing, but it was about a parasite. It tries to attach to you. That's what parasites do. They want to take the life out of you. But we as Christians need to pull these parasites out, which in representation of the devil, whatever he wants to do to you, he wants to bring in poverty, he wants to bring in addictions, he wants to bring in discord, he wants to bring in all kinds of stuff, but we don't speak those things. They're not for us. We need to speak things that are true to the Word of God, that we have victory in Christ Jesus, because Jesus bore everything on the cross. He took all our sins. He took all of our poverty. He doesn't want you and me to be poor. He doesn't want us to lose anything. He came to give and give to us more abundantly. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God gave you the strength, He gave you authority to conquer all these, I'm going to call them parasites. They just try to take stuff from you. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Those are the idol words. The idol of not doing anything. You're just idling there, but you're not engaged. Like the pastor was saying, we need to engage into doing what God called you and me to do. He gives us an assignment each and every day, and we need to do those things. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The common, another word for communion is common union. If it's common, it's there all the time. If it's in a union, He's attached to me. The bread which we break, is it not the communion, the common union of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread. That's the church. The whole church, all the Christians, all those who believe in Christ. That is the body of Christ. We come together in union with Christ and become one with Christ. For we are all partakers of that one bread. We are one in the Lord. What Jesus received, we receive. What Jesus gave, we receive. That is wealth, health, relationships that are restored, everything that the devil tries to steal from us, they come back to us. We are not defeated, we are conquerors. And we judge, like the pastor said, we judge those things that come against us. We tell them to go away. You do not belong here. If you have a headache, tell it to go away. If you have a pain, Jesus bore all our pain. We need to tell it to go away. Very simple. So simple. But be firm. And believe that Jesus is the one doing it for you. Jesus bore it on the cross. He took it. He said he spent 3 days to do the work. He took the keys of hell with him, out of hell, so that we have the keys, the authority. Anybody who has keys have an authority to open doors or to start a vehicle or to unlock these locks that we don't know what's in the box. God has gifts for each and every one of us. We need to unlock these things. Take these things from that God has for us. All the good things that God has for us from heaven. God is good all the time. God doesn't want anybody of us to perish. But we have eternal life. Today we're going to seal what the pastor was speaking about. And that is that we have victory over everything. This is the body of Christ. It's not a representation. It is the body of Christ that we share together. This is what puts us together. Jesus' body. Thank you, Father, for what you have done on the cross. We thank you that you took all of our pain. You took all of our sickness. You took all our poverty. You took all of our broken relationships. You took everything, Father God. And you gave us victory over it all. Take, eat, and receive what God has for you. The same with the blood. He shed his blood for you. For you and me. The blood goes a long ways. It goes deep into life and life eternal. There's a feast prepared for us in the heavens. And that feast will last a long time. You're never going to be hungry. And you're going to be able to eat the best of the best. I can't imagine how good that's going to be. And I thank you, Father God. Just because he shed his blood, we have eternal life and life more abundant. And it only gets better. Take, drink, this is my blood in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, that your life is life more abundant. That we need not to suffer because you gave it all to us. You gave us the keys, the authority to conquer all. And today as we, I pray a blessing as we part upon everybody who has received of your body and your blood. That we will continue all in unity with you that are high above, and we are seated high above with you, having been given the keys and authority over all things. And Father God, we sit with you and do the will of the Father like you did the will of the Father. And we conquer because you are the conqueror in us. All in the precious name of Jesus. Be blessed and highly favored in the name of Jesus. We say hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Do we have any newcomers today?